Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been hanging around with us already today, you know what I always say, that's a sign of high intelligence. Another person who's joining us, who's pretty darn smart, is Rich Galen, our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the publisher of Mullings.com. He's also the writer, the editor, and the accountant over there at Mullings.com. He is a Republican operative, a political hack, self-described, as he often says. But as I've said, he's our good friend. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you here. And Merry Christmas, my Jewish friend.
Why, thank you. It's very kind of you to say.
Don't you want to say Happy Hanukkah back to me?
No. There is a, I do a lot of speaking, as I know you do, too, but especially at Republican political events, somebody will offer a prayer very often
right
before a dinner. And it's not infrequent that they'll end the prayer with, in Jesus' name
exactly.
We pray. And I always say, as you know, in full voce, amen, because, you know, maybe you're right. I need all the help I can get, and I'm perfectly happy to pray to whoever anybody's praying to.
Well, you know, I actually have multiple touch points on this issue. Number one, whenever I'm asked to pray in public, and most of the time they don't ask me to do that because they usually can find somebody a lot more pious than me to do that. But anybody could do that. But if I do, or if I'm in charge of that and I'm talking to someone, if I know the crowd is I don't know who the crowd is. It's obviously not a Protestant church crowd or a Christian crowd. You know, I encourage people to pray what's called an ecumenical prayer. I think that's appropriate. I think that's considerate. Another thing that we do here is we send out cards to hundreds of people for the holidays, and we send them a best wishes for the holidays card. And I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong as a Christian for saying that. I don't feel like I'm bailing out on my religion or anything like that by sending out, have a wonderful, peaceful holiday. But I do think that this, not taking Christmas completely out of everything, I think that's a mistake.
I do too. I mean, the notion of saying that, to pretending that the big Douglas fir or whatever it is on the front lawn of the Capitol is somehow not a Christmas tree,
right.
It's just absurd. I mean, it is a Christmas tree, I don't have any problem with it being called a Christmas tree. That's what it is.
Well, absolutely, no question about it. Let's move over and talk about. I want to read a few words here, folks, from a Wall Street Journal article, and I'm not going to say who wrote this till the end, and I'm going to be quoting for the next few seconds. I have just returned from my fourth trip to Iraq in the past 17 months and can report real progress there. Progress is visible and practical in the Kurdish North. There's continuous security and growing prosperity. The primarily Shiite South remains largely free of terrorism, blah, blah, blah. There are many more cars in the streets, satellite television dishes on the roof, and literally millions more cell phones in Iraqis' hands than before. It is a war between 27 million people, Iraqis, who want to live their lives in freedom, and 10,000 terrorists. And he goes on to say, none of these remarkable changes would have happened without the coalition forces led by the U.S. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Rich knows who wrote that. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who it is, I'm going to tell you it's the man who fought tooth and nail to defeat George Bush in the 2000 election as the vice presidential nominee for the Democrats, Joe Lieberman. How about Joe Lieberman, Rich?
Well, you know, the first part of that is, I think, what's critical. He's been there for four times. And if you go to some place like Iraq and you talk to the soldiers and the commanders and you get out into the field and you see what's going on, It is a completely different place than what you see on TV every time. And, you know,
But those of you who know Rich and have heard him many times on the show, you know what I'm about to say. But for those of you who haven't been listening all that long, Rich paid his bones. He went over and spent almost a year over there about a year or so ago. And so, Rich, when you speak of these things, you're talking about your own experiences as well.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Jim. That's exactly right. It is odd sometimes. It's psychologically difficult, frankly, to accept the fact that while we were often running around in full body armor in Humvees and with guns literally at the ready, we'd be passing street corners where people were pushing baby carriages and having chats and men standing there and talking.
It was two universes almost, and it's becoming less two universes because Rich has been back for about a year and a half. Quick break, 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Rich Galen, the author of Mullings.com. It's a thrice weekly cyber column. Stay with us, 20 till. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and have a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. Rich is in California today. Rich, who are you speaking with out there today?
The Republican Governors Association is having their annual meeting.
A friendly bunch of folks.
Friendly bunch, and I got to lecture yesterday morning about what I thought was going to happen in how, as a governor, they ought to use the information they've gotten. Some of the things that we've talked about here on the air, one of which is that there is a double standard in the press corps. You can deny it if you want, but there is one, between the way Republicans are covered and the way Democrats are covered, or at least liberals and conservatives. And my point is always, the way I always put it is that anybody who ever played high school basketball knows that the home team gets the close calls under the hoop.
Of course.
Doesn't mean that the referees are cheating. It's just the nature of the beast. That's why it's called a home game. And for Republicans, we are always the visiting team when it comes to the press corps. And you can either rail against the gods, or you can be like a smart coach and not design too many plays to go under the hoop so that you don't give the
right
press a chance to make the call.
It's a chess game, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Well, you know, I'm going to correct you just a little bit, Rich, because I think it's not the issue is not the message that's heard is Republican or Democrat. I think the thing that gets discriminated against is the message, not necessarily the politics. And the reason I say that is when Congressman Murtha of Pennsylvania renounced the war and demanded the immediate withdrawal of troops. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago, and we have heard from that nonstop, wall to wall, on all of the cable network shows. But yet, Joe Lieberman's article came out only day before yesterday, and there's been, to my count, nary a peep in the major newspapers, other than the Wall Street Journal and the major cable. So Joe Lieberman's a Democrat, but his message is not the Democrat message, and they're not covering it.
Well, so we're saying essentially the same thing. They're not covering it because it is not a Democratic message.
Yeah.
And so that for them, you know, it's easier for them to do. You know, let's go back to Murtha for a second. You know, what he said wasn't that we should withdraw immediately. What he said was we should withdraw within 6 months. And he also didn't say that we should withdraw back to Camp Pendleton, California, and Fort Bragg, North Carolina. What he said was we ought to leave the troops in the region, so that they can be a quick reaction force if things go terribly south. The problem with that is, I mean, the six-month thing, frankly, I think will happen by itself, not because of a timetable, but because the events on the ground will allow that to happen. The problem with the second part is, and this is something that Kennedy and John Kerry, the two geniuses from Massachusetts, started saying yesterday, because I think they like the way it sounds, so they keep saying it, is that the only way to have a victory is to withdraw the troops, because the troops are a magnet for and a target for insurgents and for terrorists. Okay, let's take that as read just for a second. Now let's go back to Murtha. So you've got, if the problem with having American troops in Iraq is that they are a magnet for terrorists. What happens when we, to put it in his terms, put them over the horizon but leave them in the region?
Mm-hmm.
We can put them in Kuwait or Bahrain or Oman or Qatar. So now you're going to attract terrorists to these places where currently no terrorists are operating. So how smart is that?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Murtha is a Democrat and has been known as a Democratic hawk means that now they can use that to try to embarrass the administration.
They've made it sound like this was news for him to say this. He's been saying these things for 2 years.
Frankly, I think he's wrong. But you know, the notion that somehow a member of Congress, in the minority for that matter, knows more than all of the commanders and the entire defense, you know, the national command structure.
Right.
And therefore, we should follow what this Democratic or a member of the minority in the House of Representatives is saying over what the Secretary of Defense and the President are saying is just ludicrous. But that's what happens here.
You know, Rich, we had, as you know, you were reported very bravely and very, very well. When you were in Iraq, you were on the show many times giving us good reports from over there. And we've continued to do that since you left. And June Reed has been a great reporter for us over there, part of the mission that the coalition is doing to get that economy going over there. She has reported to us, and she continues to report the progress. In fact, her last report, which was only last week, was right after she got back from Fallujah. She'd been wandering around in Fallujah.
Hmm.
And you know, when you were there, Rich, she couldn't have wandered around in Fallujah.
No, I went to Fallujah, and there was no wandering around.
Yeah, exactly. But she was over there helping them get the Fallujah economy going.
That is a huge advantage.
But what other news outlet besides the Small Business Advocate Show are you hearing that kind of reporting?
You're not getting it from anybody, and one of the reasons is, Jim, because it's because of the business that news has become. It's not news is no longer seen as a public service. News
right.
is now seen as like any other program or any other magazine or publication. It's got to make money for its shareholders or for its owners, and the reality is that if I were running out of the studio at Fox, we can come back and talk about this.
Yeah, tell me about that when you come back, folks. These companies are no longer in the news business; they're in the business of news. It's Tintail. We'll be right back with Rich Galen. His website is Mullings.com. I encourage you to subscribe to his newsletter. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7:10. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and the very politically incorrect Rich Galen is our guest. The only person who may be a little more politically incorrect than me is Rich Galen, the author and the publisher and the editor and the janitor and the accountant over at Mullings.com. What do you call yourself? The charmed quark?
Yeah, the charmed cork of American business.
Exactly.
I'm the basic building block of the American economy.
He's the nucleus, folks. And by the way, folks, it comes out 3 times a week, and wherever, regardless of where he is, unless he's in Bangladesh or somewhere, and which he has been at fairly recently. And I encourage you to subscribe. He doesn't charge anything for it, but you can. If you're not a Republican, you're going to want to know what he's up to. But whether you are or not, you're going to enjoy the way he writes. And Rich, congratulations on the great success there.
Thank you, sir.
You were going to finish your thought.
Yeah, if the Fox Bureau in Baghdad happens to be in the Sheraton Hotel, which is not most Sheraton hotels, but that's where it is. And if I were there and I were only sending reports back about new schools opening in Tikrit, or new shopping areas in Baghdad, or those kinds of things, I guarantee you, I would be sent to some other outpost in a hurry, because that's not the news that even somebody like Fox is looking for. The bad guys know that, so that they do what they do where American or Western cameras can generally see it, because they know what effect it's going to have. It'll be played, 117 times an hour for the next 48 hours. If they can get a bomb into the square outside the Palestine Hotel and the Sheraton Hotel, which happened to be the home of both CNN and Fox.
Yeah. The thing that I don't get, Rich, is people who look at what's going on over there, two, almost three elections and a new constitution in less than 12 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why people can't look at that and why, how people could look at that and say, we're not making any progress. We're all doomed. We need to end it right now. I mean, that's like driving down, a hard fought drive down to the goal line and getting on the 1 yard line and say, wait a minute, this is too hard. Let's stop.
Yeah, the other thing, and I brought this up yesterday on television. I was debating somebody, and I said, I can tell you the exact minute that American forces got to Western Europe, and it happened to be sometime in June of 1944, and we now call it D-Day, and they've been there ever since. We've had troops in Western Europe for over 60 years. I don't hear anybody screaming for us to get out of there. Absolutely. They've been in South Korea for, for 50 years.
Japan.
And nobody's, Japan, of course. So this really is, at its best, it's intellectually dishonest. At its worst, it's really cynicism, political cynicism that's really, frankly, dangerous.
And
and I know people can disagree on this, but I think it's dangerous, too, because we are fighting a war for the preservation of not only our country, but our society and our civilization.
Well, there's no question about it. And the thing is, it's not dishonest, it's not unpatriotic to question strategies or anything like that, but it is dishonest, in my opinion, to see something that's happening and to deny it and to call it something that it's not. The president did a great job yesterday in his speech. Folks, if you didn't get to hear it, I hope you'll find it somewhere. Read a transcript of it. There's one story in there. We don't have time to talk about it, Rich Long. There's one story in there about what a soldier said who wound up being a fatality, but he wrote a letter. You need to hear, if you didn't hear it already, you need to hear what that young man said, and what a great example, Rich. How many more of these is the president going to do? He needs to do more of them.
I think the White House is back on offense. They played, for reasons I'm not clear on, they were playing a rope-a-dope game, and I think that they finally decided that it is not self-evident what's going on. It's got to,
right.
They've got to provide the evidence, and a White House that is aggressively on message is a very, very potent political force in America. And so we'll see how well they do.
I thought maybe they were calling in the fast boat guys. And they were so effective in 2004, that maybe they called in the fast boat guys and the swift boat guys and get them in there. Rich, what are you doing today in California?
Today I'm going to meet with some governors and some candidates for governor and help them think through their strategies. Things like immigration are different state by state, how to handle it. The immigration's the same.
Maine doesn't have a big immigration problem, do they?
Well, actually, they do. Everybody does have an immigration problem. It's just different immigrants from different places.
We're not going to build a wall, though, north of Maine.
That's no, and yes, right, nor down the Atlantic coast. And in places like Chicago, there's some folks from Illinois here. They're talking about immigration from like Lithuania.
Right,
it's a little bit different there.
Hey, Rich, be safe. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again before the holidays actually arrive. Thanks
a lot.
So. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Check that website out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.